This evening for the sermon text, we turn to chapter 27 of Matthew's gospel account. And we begin our reading at verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. So far the text. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that by them and by this sacrifice that unfolds before us in our text tonight, that you would set us apart from this dying world for the eternal life that you have prepared for us. This evening, lead us to think upon the necessity of Jesus' sacrifice, how he had to go to that cross, how he had to be the sacrifice for us. And lead us to think about our sins and lead us away from them. Lead us to eternal life by these words. They are the truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, just about every morning, I go out for an exercise walk. And a lot of times I climb a hill at the backside of Lake Havasu and enjoy the quiet, although it's not usually that quiet. Usually I can hear the cars driving back and forth on McCulloch and down on 95. I can hear the semis roaring through town. But lately, it's been eerily quiet. When Jesus bowed his head and yielded up his spirit, it was an eerie scene. It grew dark and quiet. Not from an eclipse, but because the Son of God had entered into death. Historians tell us that as far away as Egypt, everyone was experiencing this mysterious and frightening darkness. Jesus was with two others on their crosses outside of Jerusalem. Remember how the week had started. Thousands had followed him, listened to his preaching, sang his praises, welcomed him as a hero on Palm Sunday with shouts of Hosanna. But glory would not win the battle. Jesus had come into this world and had worked every day of his life to prepare for this. Your future, my future, the future of everyone who has ever lived was hanging on the outcome of that battle. Jesus had come to contend with sin, with death, and with the devil in the greatest battle ever fought. There are websites that list the greatest battles of all time, and usually their assessments are based on the influence of a battle on history. Rarely do they list this greatest of all battles. The life of Jesus is the most significant single life in all of history. Everything revolves around that moment in time. And what happened on the cross at his death changed the entire world and everyone who has ever lived. It says, from noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? The physical agony of Jesus on the cross was horrendous. He'd already been distressed from the night before in Gethsemane, and there on Friday with the crown of thorns and the constant mocking and the pulling of his beard and the blows to his face and the humiliation of having his clothes stripped off and the cruel scourging that ripped the skin from his back. Then he was forced to carry that heavy crossbeam until he collapsed. And after all that, they stretched him out on that rough wooden cross and drove wrought nails through his palms and feet, and they hoisted the cross up as the other soldiers and the Jewish leaders mocked him. How can anyone do such things to another human being? It's hard to even read the account. But through all of it, Jesus withstands the pain and the agony without complaint. And instead of crying out, he speaks the amazing words of the cross. He first offers a prayer asking the Father to forgive the very people who were crucifying and mocking him. He answers the desperate prayer of the thief beside him who believed in that tremendous gospel promise of heaven that very day. And calmly and with tender words of concern for his mother, he told John to care for her. The darkness all around reminds us that all his physical suffering was perhaps as significant as an insect sting compared to the spiritual suffering that he went through on the cross. The darkness shows us how much God hates sin, that terrible thing that separates us from him. The darkness is both God's reaction to this judgment of his Son and God's dreadful judgment upon sin as suffered by his Son. It seems that darkness shut up the mockers for a while, and it also covered up what no eyes ever should have to see. Jesus was on the cross alone against all the forces of hell. Make no mistake about it, Satan was there turning all his hatred upon Jesus. He saw the Son of Man and the Son of God at his weakness, at his weakest. And he wastes no effort in trying to force Jesus to give up his life's work of paying for our guilt, atoning for our sins and the sins of the whole world. Imagine the terrible things that the devil might have hurled at Jesus there. You won't make any difference. You're not big enough to cover the whole world's guilt and sin. The whole history of humanity's on my side, Christ. Why care about these people? They turned on you, even Judas, even Peter. Thousands will turn on you later. So much darkness. We should be asking ourselves what we have done to cause this. The weight of the sins of billions upon billions of people are pressing down upon Jesus. And Jesus is there fighting this powerful evil angel in the midst of this great darkness, alone and yet pure and holy and faithful. Still loving us, still holding his ground as our substitute until every last sin is paid for. But now the worst part. Unseen to us, the Father's white hot anger is burning against him, the Creator who crushed the ancient world with an ancient flood and brought down brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah and made the mountain tremble and shake beneath Moses. That's the one who's directing his full anger and fury against Jesus. And you can hear it in Jesus' voice. An awful and loud cry came from his tortured lungs. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? God has told us that he is one eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we can't really understand how it might be, how it is, that the Son is forsaken by the Father. But Jesus, he experienced that. He speaks of it. His Father cast him away and turned his back on the Son whom he had once called beloved. The Father suspends his relationship with his Son so that Jesus could be that warrior champion to fight the battle in our place so that he could pay for the sins of the world. How it must have pained the Father to turn his wrath upon his own Son. But sin demands death and eternal condemnation. Make no mistake about how serious sin is to God. Jesus called him Father at first from the cross. And you can hear the intimacy in those words. But now he says, my God. You can see that while the relationship is broken, Jesus still knows what is true, still trusts, even though he's all alone. It's here that the battle is either going to be won or lost as Jesus suffers for us. The prophet Isaiah explained 700 years before this all happened exactly what was going on there so that we could understand. He says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. We often misunderstand just how terrible sin is. We think that we will just work a little harder to break that habit of anger that we might have, or laziness, or lust, or greed, or that overeating habit, or all the other sins that we find ourselves falling back into time and again. But our problem is bigger than that. It's bigger than just a behavioral thing. We need a bigger warrior who can win forgiveness for us all. And this is God's grace in all its sweat and blood. The mockers start in again, thinking Jesus was begging Elijah to come back. It says, when some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." The end is near. They wait like vultures. Things happen very quickly. Jesus was thirsty, and when he had received the drink, it says, Jesus said, "It is finished." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Notice how we can tell that the sacrifice of Jesus is completed. He says, "Father," again. God's anger has been spent. The terrible separation between Father and Son is no longer there. And that loud cry, "It is finished." Well, that says everything. The greatest battle of all time has been decided. It's over with. Jesus has crushed the head of the serpent, as predicted by God himself in Eden. The devil's mortally wounded, still slithering around, still prowling like a lion, seeking whom he may devour, but he can no longer win. He lost right then and there. Satan had thought he killed God's plan and cut off the crown of God's creation. But in the end, he deceived himself into defeat. For though Jesus contended with sin and death and the devil on the cross, though he died for us in this greatest battle ever fought, Jesus won the victory. And it wasn't a Pyrrhic victory either, because he rose from the dead. Jesus did this for us and for the whole world, and because of what he did, God forgives you and me. He forgives the people around us. This is why we call this day Good Friday, when to all the world it looks like just the opposite. His work is done. He's exhausted. But everything is just as it should be, so it's time for him to leave. The soldiers, the mockers, hell, Satan, they could not kill him. But of his own free will, Jesus offered up his unspotted, unblemished soul into his Father's loving hands, his life for all of ours, the once and for all sacrifice that had been promised since Eden. It is finished. The Lamb of God has taken away our sins, the sins of the whole world. The greatest battle decided there on the cross. Tonight, let the plainness, the darkness, the solemnity, let those things all remind us of his sacrifice, so that we may celebrate the proof of its acceptance by God on Sunday. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.